Yeah, good. Okay. As we spoke about Baruch Hashem last week, the Inyan Yakdoma to Basta Bukhalov, the Raisa, the Rabbonon, the official, all the different Inyanim of when it's Nagei Basta Bukhalov, we spoke out the Ikka Sugis of Nabarnat, the Sugis of Dovachorif Ikka. Those are the two main Sugis we touched upon last week. Be'ez Hashem, now we're going to go weiter with the Yisurah the Raisas of Basta Bukhalov. And next week, Be'ez Hashem, depending on how much we do tonight, Be'ez Hashem, next week we'll go with the Gzeiris Chazal, the shailas of hard cheese, the shailas of all the different Gzeiris Chazal that Chazal told us on Yisrael Rabbon of Basa B'Cholov. So we'll start Be'ez Hashem now. We're not going in any state of Shulchan Aruch in Yeridei, but we'll go through the Inyanim. We mentioned last time by Duchat the Sakina, the Gabi, a knife. We mentioned that when a person takes a fleishig, a knife, and he cut an onion, so the onion has got a din of fleish mamish. I did a kach to shaila in the poiskin, the reisa, the rabbonon akoponim. So Mina, duchat zakina takes out, we explain how it works, be'etzem, when you have an onion, and it's you cut it with a fleish, you're going to have it, takes out all the bleers from the actual onion, and the Mina makes the onion fleishy. Adke de kach, that was what we discussed over there, the gabi dobe chorif. Now we're going to go to the next sugya. This sugya, how it applies, not to a dobe chorif, but to a regular food, the dogma, right? Let's take a regular classic case of Basa B'Cholov, very, very shkir, shailas, and that is a person is cutting a piece of chicken, a piece of steak, he's looking on the fire if something is fully cooked, and he wants to make sure if it's open, it's good or not, so he takes a knife and he cuts it down. So the shaila over here is a regular case of Dukha Sakina without the sugya of Dovachorit. He has, for example, a piece of flesh, a hot piece of meat, and he cuts it with a melted knife. So the maisa. As we spoke out in the beginning of the shiur, yes, last week. Now it depends. First shaila we have to ask is number one: is we dealing with the ben yoimo or dealing with the name ben yoimo? Poshut is the most fundamental shaila that anybody normally asks. Any rov will ask you that poshut: are we dealing with a ben yoimo, any ben yoimo? A ben yoimo ki yodo, as we mentioned last time, means that the bleers are still gishmaka bleers. The mela, what comes out from this knife is going to be a very very gishmaka tam. It's going to be basa b'cholik shaila from doraisa. If there's no shishim, it's mamish shayla from basa b'cholav d'oraisa, osir bahano mamish. Masha egin, if the knife would be an eina ben yoimai, if the last time you use this knife for hot meat or hot chicken would be over 24 hours, so the time inside the knife would be pogum, it's an eina ben yoimai, it's a pogum to get time, and it's got no koiches to ask for something else, remember the meat will 100% be mutter. So that's the most easiest question that you have to ask before you bring up the rov. When the rov asks you, if it's a ben yomer, then it's a shayla of shishim. If it's an eina ben yomer, then everything's going to be mutter. So that's a very, very simple inyan of cutting a piece of meat, whatever it may be, with the opposite type of knife. Now, what happens if the food is in a klisheni? For example, this is the most common shayla, is you have kids, for example, that are busy, they get forks and knives, they don't cut, they're getting a milk fork, and they're eating their chicken bush with a milk fork, milk knife. So it's a shayla. We're dealing with a hot piece of chicken, a hot piece of meat, which has got a chayyah din of a dog of gush. A dog of gush, as we know, the Lord of Chaim, for example, in Simon Shin Yud Ches, that a dog of gush, it's a Mogen Avon, it's a Shach, it's a Ramot, it's a Marshal, that a dog of gush has got a din of a Klivishin, a Fil of a Klisheni. There's some Seifel that's born in the 15th Shuvah that says a Fil of Kivavi, Klichamishi. That means you can put that piece of chicken, the piece of meat, from one tray to another one. So eventually it reaches your plate. If it's Yatzo lettuce boy, the Marshal, and the Takachosh, the Shittas Marshal, the Ramaz Mekum. Of all the poskim or machme for the Shittas Marshal, that a double gush has got a koich or bishop, or got bleas, or got polyp for sure, can't be the Milchas Yaakov or whatever. The Meister, if the fork and the knife that I'm using for this steak, for this chicken, is a Ben Yoima. I feel if it's in a Klisheni, so that's going to be a Shaila from Bishop. So the next Shaila is, yo, it's a Ben Yoima, what do I do now? Shishim. As the regular case we mentioned in the beginning from last week already, that Shishim is the Yisoid, that Chazal and Mishar, that once something is bottled to Shishim, it no longer has the Tam of that Zach. So Mamela, that's the double portion, we're dealing with the Ben Yoima, Eidah Ben Yoima, Shishim or not Shishim. Now, what about the Tila? Shteiti Vukin Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch is very clean. When you take a knife, you're almost like a milk knife, and you cut a piece of steak. So not only do you have to work out, yes, shishim or not shishim, but you have to think of a kidei netila. What's a kidei netila? So it's a machlokes, a poskim, if it's 2 centimeters from each side, or it's 2.5 centimeters from each side. If shigi, from each side, they're going to take off a nice chunk of be'er 2 to 2.5 centimeters of actual. actual meat. What's the main bayah? So there's common reasons why, I'm not going into all of the reasons. Some of the achronim want to learn pshat, that when a person does duchka, so has the kolchus to go in. We'll see weiter, even the case when it's cold, there's a shayla. But the main problem over here is the shamnunis. Bizmanei hem, bizman ha-chazal, bizman ha-gemora, the knives that they had were poshut, not clean. And if you do what? Anybody that learned, for example, Masechta Be'er knows poshut. The Gemara says over there, when you have to make an eruv of shilin, so what do you do if you haven't got any food? You haven't got enough food, Zufti Gemara, poshut Gemara, you haven't got enough food for the eruv of shilin, a poshut eitzah. You take your knife from the jaw, and you scrape it over the plate on both sides, and you get a kezias of food that comes out. That's your eruv of shilin. A moedik azat. We see this mana chazal, this mana gemara. The knives were taka, very, very, very moedik and dirty. So lemaisa bizmanenu. I remember having this discussion, with that going with Moshe Shtermak Shlita outside his house in Harnot, and he was asking to me that about the bizmanenu. Most of our knives, you look at a regular person's knife, it's clean. Now lemaisa, when it comes to a kli, when it comes to a utensil, do we assume that most of our kingdom are clean? So the mice we do, as I say, in the Prima God, at the beginning of the Sidna Sadi Hey, that we assume that most of our kingdom are considered to be knocky and are not considered to be dirty. A knife is the only exception, but again, this manenu generally is not a shayla of taking off gedei netila, because most of our knives are very clean, and therefore there will not be a shayla of that. Now, a very shkiach shayla in this inyan is, for example, what happens if a person is making a doma parif? He's making a baked potato or some pasta. Parif, everything is parif, and he uses a fleischiger fork, a fleischiger knife. What's the din of the food? So again, if it's an eina ben yoimai, there's no shayla b'chal. And going back to what we mentioned before, if you cut a piece of steak or a piece of chicken, a fin of a kishen, with a milk fork, milk knife, so the Bible we said if the kli is an eina ben yoimai, it hasn't got the koiches to ask or anything else. That's klot. Or with the spoon, the fork, the knife, it's bladzos, it's poshut. It has the bleed from the chicken or from the meat inside it. So I think if it's in a benyomai, so good, the koiches from the tam inside won't go out into the chicken. But the chicken will go into it. And therefore, avada, the kli will have to be the hagola, or whatever the method of kashin that we'll get to the Eid Hashem when we discuss hagola's kelim. But like a bone, the kli will always be osa, even if it's in a benyomai. Person should never make a mistake. It's a very, very shkiach mistake. That when the Rav tells them, yeah, say to God, it's an eni ben yomai, you can eat the chicken. What's with the fork? The fork is badly going to be tricked. That's poshut. Right? So you've got to put it along with the rest of the pile. Everybody in there, this is what I hear all the time. Everybody in their kitchen has like a pile over there. That's where they keep their treifer. You know, they're waiting one day to get to it. Eventually they call up and get, you know, get exactly what to do with each one. Then they quickly forget, this one is used as zoe, this one is used as zoe, and then you've got major shadows. So like a bottom, without getting into that, lemaisa, it's going to be tricked. Oh. Let's go back to our power of a potato now. I'm making a baked potato. I want to eat it in ganzen parif. I take a fleischiger knife, a ben yoimoy fleischiger knife, and I cut open my baked potato. So what's the halacha of my potato? I'm allowed to put cheese. So we mentioned already last week, the dinam na bar nat. We're now going into the shittas of Rishonim and Achronim, how we paskin, the shittas of Ramah is that we're machmel lechatchila, b'diyevet we normally make them. Which would mean, if the knife that cut open the power of a thing that was Yatzeh Lettuce Boy was a ben yoimai, that means lechatchila I'm not allowed to put cheese on my baked potato, even though the knife was clean. Bidi ever if cheese was put on, such a regular dinner not by that would be mutter. Masha enkin. If the knife that I used was an ein of ben yoimai from Fleischig, so now I'm at lechatchila allowed to put cheese on, but not al dafkin. I can't bedafka cut my potato with a fleischiger knife, bidi ein of ben yoimai, in order to put cheese on the potato. So in other words, when you take, let's make this clear, when you take a fleischig or milchig utensil and you cut a dog of pyro that's boiling hot, it's got a din of nat bar nat. It's mummish the same thing as if this potato was cooked in either a fleischig or a ben yoimai pan. That's a dog of pasha. What about cold? Sobe ben yoimai. Oh, very good. The Taz in Yeridea, it's brought in Mamakrim, all over the place. Oba Be'ikis, the Taz in Yeridea, in Siman Sadi Dalet, says Kla. Sofik ben yoimai is Eina ben yoimai. And this is one very shkiach shayla, very good for mentioning it. Because a lot of times you'll ask the shayla, say, is it a ben yoimai, is it not? They'll say, what do I know? You think I remember which one I used? So the halacha is it's got a din of an Eina ben yoimai. And you can be Mekel. Most times you can be Mekel. And it's in a Kla. Sorry? Tamkin Eina ben yoimai. Oh, so that's the sugi over there. Come again, Baita. What about cold food? What about kosher? You take a packet of meat and you cut it with a milk knife. There's a shayla. There's no tuchma zakina le gabi chorif. There's no problem of double chorif. There's no problem of heat mechlal because it's freezing cold. It's mabaya. is that Etzim is two bayads over here. First of all, the Arshid is a Kiv'egin coming, the Koymeth that we're not going into, that holds that when a person cuts something with a shtaka duchka, is a hard piece of meat, for example, a hard piece of cheese, that we'll get to next week if such a thing even exists, or if it does, a hard piece, and you're cutting it with a knife, so the duchka actually penetrates a kidei klipa. But we're not going into that sugya. We're going into sugya number one. Is the knife clean? If the knife is clean, bismanenu, that the mice, most of our knives are clean, so it's beseda. It's beseda. The only problem is, the knife is a bayah. What's the problem with the knife? The knife, when it cut a half piece of cheese or a half piece of meat, even if it was a parva knife, or for sure if it was a milfka knife, so what you're going to have to do is kasher it. How do you kasher a knife? So Shabetzim it's Yushalmi. You have to ni'itza. Ni'itza bekarka. What's ni'itza bekarka? So Yushalmi tells us, and all the Mephoshim explain pshat, is you take this knife and you dip it into the karka, which is kosher, 10 times. As I state in Yushalmi. Now, everybody knows this psazazach that you have a section on the in the garden where people keep their knives. A lot of people have this, their kashering section of the garden, and they have a bunch of knives. I've seen it many times, spoons and knives and all these sorts of things resting over there. Crisis, where it comes from, I don't know. I found Baruch Hashem, I was able to have a tremendous Boki in Yerideya who checked over my sefer, and when he was checking over, he went through this sugya. So he says, I want to tell you a Murdika Maisa. He learned in the Mir by Chaim Shmulevitz. And he said one time, he was very close to Rosh Hashiva there, he was very close to the Mishpacha there, he used to go in, and he said one time Rebbetzin Shmulevitz called him and said, do me a favor, can you go and fetch the knives that were resting in the earth outside? Some Mudika Maisa. People like it did it. Actually, there was some Makar from the Kitzar Shlo, whatever. Mi'ika Hadin Ni'itza. What's Ni'itza? Ni'itza Bismana Chazal meant to take off the shamunis of the knife. You can't just kasher it. You can't just dip it in boiling hot water, which is regular hagolah. You can't clean its stump. You have to dip it into the shtaka ground. So bismanenu, what do we do? So the place can say it's very, very shver bismanenu to find an earth that you know will remove all the shamunis when you take it out of the earth. So the maisa roiva poskim hold the posh of the eitzah is number one, which we always say klar chazor. Never wash it with cold water, with hot water. I'm sorry, never. When you have, for example, a power of a knife that you by mistake ate yogurt with, or by mistake cut a piece of cheese, the first action people do is rush it over to the sink in the hot water. Nishtazoy. Because if you do that, we're going to discuss that Ezer Shem soon. You're going to put the bleers inside the actual spoon. It's a big bayah. So the first thing is cold water, get rid of all the shamnunis that you can. After that, you take steel wool and you scrub it on both sides. You can even pour hot water afterwards on that once all the shamnunis are basically gone. And that's what Chazal basically meant nowadays. What the first can say is considered to be ni'itza b'karka, which again is a type of kashering which applies by something that we use in cult. So if the knife, a parva knife, a milchka knife, leishik knife, whatever it may be, was used for the opposite type, that's the eitzah, how to kasher it. So that's the sugya over there. Before we move on, very shkiach shayla. Are you allowed to use a blender for milchka things if it's a parva blender? It's very shkiach. You know, especially by Shavuos time, this is very, very negeh, by Chanukah zicha, right? Because the only mistake everyone wants to be carrying the Ramah and making cheesecake by Chanukah as they're taking Ramah to be eating milchiks. So a lot of them people don't have a milchika blender or a milchika whisk. So what they want to do is they want to keep their one parv and they want to make some kind of yogurt, some kind of cheese, some kind of whatever it is inside this thing, and they want to keep it parv. Does it remain parv or not? It depends on the metzias. Without going too much into detail, you have to know, to do it for a small amount of time, there's no shayla. To take a blender and put milk in it and whisk it around for a couple of minutes, nothing's going to happen, b'chal, no beliers, you tip it out, you clean it well, and it remains parv 100%. Whereas, if you leave it on for a very long time, depends what the recipe says, if the recipe says you've got to mamash keep whisking, so two things will happen. Number one is, it will start getting hot, push the friction from all the blades over there, it gets hot, and when it gets hot, it's b'leia from the milk, and it's a bayah. Same thing applies if you're doing something which is a dover solid. For example, if you're not putting milk in there, you're putting pieces of cheese or pieces of vegetables that are dry or whatever. Well, at the same time, it's the same problem occurs. That the friction from going around so fast many times is going to cause it to heat up, and therefore it's going to be boiling from the milk that's inside it. But again, on a regular basis, if you're doing it small amount of time, just a little whisk around is generally not going to be a problem of bleers over there. Fine. That stops the sugya over there. Again, weiter. Let's go to the Igas sugya I wanted to discuss, which is the shayla from Zayat, the shayla from gas stoves, the shayla from ovens, microwaves, and all of these things. So we have a klal. The Ramah tells us before, in the end of Siman Tzadi Beis,
Ein kli boileya mikli b'loy roitiv. A tremendously important yesod that you have to know. Ein kli boileya mikli b'loy roitiv means that when you have two kelim, very shkiyach this one, you have on the stove, you have a milk pot cooking cheese soup. Next to it, you have a chicken soup, and they touch one another on the outside. Nothing spilled. Nothing happened. Why should the pots touch each other? Are there going to be bleers there? Absolutely not. Ein kli boileya mikli boileya roitiv. Unless you have a roitiv going in between, which would mean that the chicken soup is overflowing, so there's going to be no bleer. No, same thing, by the way, when a person takes a chicken soup, and it's boiling hot, straight from the gas, and you put it onto the counter. Not on a milk counter. Anything happens? No. Why? Because everything is dry. And when everything is dry, it's ein kli boileya mikli boileya roitiv, v'meir es b'seder gomor. Don't do it lechatchela. Don't bedafka make it inkli b'leim ekli b'leim roitiv lechatchela. Zuk with Moshe, no, that's not pshat in the Ramah. You read the Ramah, that's what he says. But Moshe has a ganz mahalach that we're not going through right now, that he wants to learn that lechatchela is going on something else that we're not going to now. But he holds that lechatchela it's mutter. What's the nafkamina for us? A tremendous nafkamina. How many people here in Eretz Yisrael, even in Chutzlaretz, have a separate gas stove for milchik and a separate one for fleishik? Yeah, some people have it. But a rave of the people don't have it. What's the heter to use the same chatzuva, the same iron grate, or if you have an electric one, the same area on the stove for both milchik pots and both fleishik pots? So the etzim, the main heter that you have is this Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe is a claw that is mutter lachatzchila if it's clean and if it's not wet. And you have to be careful, by the way, because when you take a pot from the, you wash up a pot. So often you take a pot, you straightly wash it, you put it straight on the area. Now that's wet. That's a problem. It's got to be dry. In order to get the het of the Ramah in kli b'leim and kli b'leim roitiv, it has to be that it's dry. When it's dry, according to Rav Moshe, it's b'seder gomor. And I checked up. Rav Yisrael Orbach Shlita told me that his house, in Rav Shlomo Zalman's house, they were takameka like this. They were takameka, Rav Shlomo Zalman brings up, what is yechidim? Yechidim are going to be machme. There's a tshuva in the Ksav Sofer, same thing. The Ksav Sofer is a claw. A year in Shemayim should have two. Now everybody's maskim. If it's shy for a person to have a separate for milchik and for fleishik, how many times I get a call from people that are planning kitchens to give them all the list of all the different kosher things that they should watch out for? And I say, listen, if it's shy, monetary wise, space wise, to have a separate one, that's the best thing. Oh, but most people can't do that. If you can't do that, you could be soimik on the minig lahakol taka to people to use the same gas grate for milchik and for fleishik, providing that A, it's clean. It's got all the mamoshes there, you've got to have a problem. And also to use the pots that are dry, and the etzim you have a makor to be made. Again, I don't want to say anything different. The maisa avad is a mokrim to be machmet. Avad is a shayach to buy set. I, for example, have a home of separate, by taste sometimes, then again, they sell all these separate ones. For basics, I bought one after for milchik. So, I put it onto the area when I cook milchik. Avad is up. If you can, if it's shayach, it's here in Shemaim, as I state in the Ksav Sofer. I'm going to point to realize that the minig be'etzim in most places is to be mekel, and the minig is very, very stark a mokrim to be mekel. You have with Moshe, you be'etzim, he tied it, has a ramah, and that's the mokrim over there. And that's the same shavu, the hot plate. I can't tell you, on an Erev Shavuos, 50, 60, maybe 70 times, this shayla comes in on Erev Shavuos. Because on Erev Shavuos, everybody's busy making milchik asudas. And where do you heat up milchik asudas? It's on the hot plate. No, the hot plate, the guy is using for what? He's using for fleishik. All of a sudden, Erev Shavuos, he wants to use it now for milchik. No, same shayla. So same shayla as the gas grate, right? So better, you can be making if it's clean, it's besaid. If you want to be even more makhm over there, this is mamish easy, is you can cover it with a layer of foil, and then it's besaid the gomor, because you've taka got ein kli boileya mikli boileya roitiv. Now we're going back to Zayah. Can't miss out the sugya from Zayah. This is one of the biggest sugyas, mamish a mystery sugya, where anybody that learned Yeridea, everybody waits for the oven sugya. When is it coming? When is the oven sugya coming? The Maaseh doesn't. So a small ramor in Sadi Beis, a small ramor over there in Kupchet, very, very, very small sugar, very unspoken about Aladak and Shulchanot. So let's go through the Yisodius of Zayah to understand what is Zayah, where does it come from, and the Maaseh, how do we paskin in another. So, it starts with the Mishnah and Machshirin. The Mishnah, it's a Mordech Zach, the Poskim took over here a Mishnah which is talking about Tumah and Tara, and they applied it over here to Yeridea by Sug of an Oven. It's a Mordech Zach. The Tshuvas HaRosh brings down that the Mishnah Machshirim says that when you have a mikveh, and in this mikveh you have water that was tomei, the water that was tomei gives off zeah, and the zeah goes to the walls, and the windows, and the ceiling, whatever. Ayin Shom in the Mishnah, we paskin over there in the Mishnah that has a koyach to ask for other things as well. Zug the Rosh and Tshuvas, that just like you see in Tumah and Tara, zeah is a koyach to go somewhere. Mimela is the same thing by Yeridea. And the name of the Rosh learns a modic as that. Soup the Rosh. When you have a pot of cheese soup and steam comes out of it, that's not steam. That's pee, that's mamish mamoshesi tainus of actual milk. It's milk coming out of there. I could take care. There was a shayla a few years ago with a certain type of liqueur. Now this liqueur was made by boiling up milk or whatever it was, some dairy product, and was actually putting zeya into this actual liqueur. It was a tremendous shayla if this liqueur is going to be milchik or pirate, because the zeya has got a din kamoisei mamish, and as they passed from the Rosh. And the maisa, it's got a din of the thing itself. Whenever it steams up, it's got a din of the actual food itself. Now, the shayla is there a chilek between a solid food and a liquid food? For everybody knows, when you have a chicken soup, it steams a lot. But when you're cooking a piece of chicken, where's the zeh? So the Bimah Golden Taka says there's a chilek between a liquid and a solid. And he times the maisa that by a solid, you don't really have so much zeh. There's a shayla maybe the Bimah Golden Taka is like a choizen, a chuzbeisa. We're not going into the sugar. Rav Moshe learns cloth. That a liquid is always having zeh. Oba, a solid only has zeh when you see it. If you don't see it, then you don't have to be choshish for the Shiv Etzim Siyad Yehuda already and other poskim as well. What are the kulas of zeh that we have? So the main kulas of zeh are as follows. Number one, as we take Mefush and Trumas Hadeshin, the Levush and the Yavitz, everybody brings this down, is if it's not Yatzi Levisli. And it's going to come up, we'll see it in a minute. A couple of nafkaminas, aloch ala maisa, the gabi these kulas. First kula, if the zeya is no longer yatsa ledes boy, then it hasn't got a koyach to ask for anything else. That's number one. Number two, another heta, mokum lispashit. So the Chumash Habach brings down that the whole Yisoy, once the time, he bases on the Pshat and the Mishnah over there in Nachshirim, that he ties the Gantz Yisoy of the Rosh, is talking about zeya in a mikveh place, where it was completely sosher, obviously there was nothing else there, and therefore that's a place where the zeya would actually go everywhere. Abazot the Chuvas Tabach, and as I passed in the Maisa Ruch HaShulchan, that calls man the zeya as a mokum lispashit, I think in English, disperses when it moves up, so there's no shayla, it's got no koiches anymore. Let me give you some nafkaminas alok, by the way, we paskin that way. Takibalti from my goyim. If Shaim is that cell, let's tak out. We pass in aloch and a mice. Let's all chashuka. Let this chuvus abach. If the zeya is mocking this passion, the seder gom has no koyches bchalal. Nafkamina number one. Very common. You take a ladle. You're about to put in the chicken soup. Oh, bye. Milk like a ladle. So no, it's mamish sitting on top of the steam over there. 100% water. Unless it's wet. Unless it mamish got to mamosh. That's something else. But if the poshut just stood there while you got the zeya there, it's no shayla b'chol. Mokum nispashit. Even if it got the lettuce boy, that would be water. Now, community number two, spices. How often do people have these shaylas? You're pouring pepper and salt into the chicken soup. The zeya is coming up. What's with the rest of my pepper? What's with the rest of my spices? It's spices now? It's milted? What's our offer? So the mice, there's two reasons we make. Number one, we have what we just said. Number two, we also have not yatzeledes, but the stomach, it's not yatzeledes, you're holding your hand there for an extended period of time, the stomach is not going to be yatzeledes, but, and the third heter is going to be zalmatzeposhet, that it's a modic along with this, that when you pull in the pepper, so the holes are blocked up, by the spices, the men they can't go inside. So, and if it got anything, it got the spice that went into your soup anyway, it's peseda. I always recommend stam when I give shirim to the women, I always tell them it's gedai, if it's possible, to try and have separate ones. If you don't have separate ones, it's gedai to put it into your hand. For a simple reason, not only from the zeya baya, but of the mamoshes. I've seen many, many times, you see this claw, that when you're cooking, especially when you're in the kitchen cooking, so your hands are greasy from flesh, and then afterwards you use it for the pizza and all these things. Suppose with the mamoshes, it's an eitzah tova for a person to try and have separate spices that he knows he uses in both. Obviously, a person should never have a whole selection of both. If you know the salt, for example, I have an example at home, I have a milk of the salt and a blanch of the salt, because the salt by me is something I use by both. But maybe I'm trying to be mafid on that. Another nafkimina, filling up the Heilige Trulut. No, Shabbos Kodesh. He sees the children is going dry, right? So, we already know the Shaila is a Bishalach HaTzliach HaBishal. No, you're there. I'm not going into the Shabbos right now. Oh, you're there. He wants to open up the lid. He doesn't want to be make a cliché. Cliché is a big Shaila. If his father is Gomish, it's a gobble. To take it with the cliché and pour it in, big bayah. He wants to push it into the ganzer crock pot. No, you're there. That's more on Shabbos also. Oh, he wants to take the ganzer pot. He wants to put it under the spout over there. And he wants to pour in the hot water so there'd be no shayla. But my gosh, no shayla. Whatever the shaylas from Shabbos are, ain't shom. Shayla from Zayn. Mutter also. So I know that. I see some of the posts of Taka Machma over here. And they say, it's big baya. If you do that, the ganzer urn becomes fleishy. Tomorrow morning, don't have a coffee with milk. No, you're there. I think we have a choose a bath. We have another shulchan. Kaki balti for a shayndal. There's no baya. Kozman is going to mock him with spashe, which a Taka does. There's no problem. I always recommend to take off the lid before you get there. It's kedai to take off the lid before you get there, and then go under, because if you open it up, straight away, the whole thing goes up. So then, eshalod and mashu kazeh. Then maybe there's a shayla. I had a fellow once call me up a couple of weeks ago. He said he was cooking, which I think it was a milchig and a fleishig, I'm not sure exactly. The lid was open slightly, and he said the zeh was pouring out of there. He said, unbelievable. It was a tremendous shayla. Because the zeh was pouring up very, very shtitain, it was stark mamish. So we had to ask the mamish to pot, and like, all the food, it was a gun to meister. You have to win it. If the zeh is got kaya, so it's going to have a problem. Let me get back to another nafkamina, for example. I went to someone's kitchen one time, you see Modi Gazak. He has the back of his stove there, that's like a magnet. And on this magnet he has, you know, he puts the ladle and the spoon and the fork and all the zakam that he has, it makes a big geschmack. So when I walked into the person's house and I saw it, I said, psh, you know, it's a problem. And I realized afterwards, you know, I don't go into someone's kitchen and see a kitchen, I see like different simonim and shorts and all. That was like study based sifres. It's mamish a big shayla. The zeh constantly is going up over there. And if it's a milk galette set or blaishig a set, so it depends on what he's cooking. You have to be very, very careful. Especially when his hand gets dirty, splashes, all sorts of things happen. You have to be careful over there. We need to get to the oven sugar. Lomigan baita. Let's go to ovens. Ovens be'etzim is another shayla. Not only is the zeh a shayla, we have a recha shayla also. The Gemara in Pesachim, all those that did daf yomi know that the Gemara says, recha melsihi. Lechatchila recha means, I don't know if it's translated exactly, but be'erach in English it's called an aroma. An aroma, it's not a smell, it's an aroma. It's something that happens b'shas maisa, not afterwards. Recha lechatchila, the Gemara tells us, and also pass on the Shulchan Aruch and Yehudeis and the Kufches, is a milsa. We have to be massive for it. Biddi eved. If you did it, recha la milsa. So by recha, generally, not much of a shayla. What about zeya? The Mundik is up. In be'erach 1954, there was a rov called Rav Moshe Schloss. He writes a letter to Rav Moshe, the Mordechai Taina. He tainted that the whole sugya of Zeya has changed. He wants to taina that Einochinami, that the Rosh was talking from the Mishnah, Machshir, that Zeya takas a koyach. I'll be taina the Gevaldik is up. He says, nowadays all our ovens have a vent, and the vent allows the air to come out. So he wanted a taina to Rav Moshe that all our ovens don't have a shayla of Zeya Bachlal. Because the mice, all the zeh goes out, doesn't stay inside. Kilo's got a mokim nispashet. Mokim nispashet is often because kachuv it's mortal. No shayla b'chlal. Rav Moshe wrote back to him azoy. Sprinted in the Gizmoshe near a day. Rav Moshe writes, no, can't say that. And he brings kama rabbis from Rishonim that the Mishnah in Machshir, when he's talking about zeh, it was talking about a mikvah house that had a window, and the window was open. And Abel Pekin, you see, that even though there's a mokim to go out the window, it's still awesome. There's a Moshe Klaw on the Mishnah, that even if your oven has a mokim that the air goes out from the vent, there's no heter of mokim mispashin over there. So what do we do l'maisa? How do we pass it on? It's very, very clear, very, very big kit set, a very shkiyat shayla this of ovens. All the time this happens. When a person makes a paravazach, a power of a food in a milk oven and a fleishiga oven. Let's make it like that. So, I'm going to make colors, cakes, biscuits in a fleishiga or milk oven. Malacha. What do we do? Suppose I look at it in Kaki Balti Mura. But you look at an oven like a pot. Whatever we learned last week of Nat Bar Nat, the same applies now. Mimela. When you take a challah, or you take some cake or biscuits, and you put it into a fleishiga oven. So, I say, if the oven is a ben yoimoi, so it's poshut. If the oven is a ben yoimi, you can't eat that challah with milk in it. Poshut. Moshe didn't have that. If you did put the evidence, you could be maker, that's for sure. But the chatchila, you can't. Moshe Inkin, if the oven was an ena ben yoimoi, and generally clean, that clean is a big shayla. Clean, you have to know. I tie in most people's ovens that anybody sitting here right now will go home right now and look at the oven. It's basically clean. That doesn't mean for. I once got called to a Bochum's Dira somewhere. They asked me to come and kasher the whole kitchen. It was a ganze mahala. You cannot imagine what was going on inside the oven over there. I could tell you exactly what they'd eaten supper in the last few nights. It was mummish. I don't even know what happened. I'm a rainbow mahalchim. The oven nowadays generally doesn't have that in a person's house. Your house normally has an oven, has a normal clean Be'eretic oven. Maybe it's got some spots that are a bit burnt, and therefore there's no shayla b'chlal. But again, the main shayla is, are you dealing with a ben yoimai, or are you dealing with an ein ben yoimai? Right, a dafka in a vav you can't, but dafka made a cake in a milchiga oven, kidei b'dafka to eat with fleishik, that you can't do. It's a din of nat bar nat. So again, pyro in a fleishik or milchik oven, depends whether it's ben yoimai, ein ben yoimai. Now, to make milchik in a fleishiga oven and paket, if you cover everything, there's no shayla b'chlal. I don't know where this business of double covering comes from. That's the sugi of Hilchos Trefus that we're not going into now. Of Hilchos Basa b'chalav, you have a fleishiga oven. And now we want to make something milchik. No, you cover it once, good. It's got to be covered, good. right? It doesn't matter if it's airtight. It's got to be covered good so the zayah doesn't come up. There's no shayla. Why? What's that? Again, let's go back to what we learned by zayah. Zayah is partial. If there is bizayah, no one's looking at wood bizayah. Zayah goes up, goes into the walls. Vayisa want to cook the next time, also the zayah is going to go up and come back down again. So nochamol, if it's covered, mabaya. There's no zayah b'chol. If there's no zayah, nothing becomes awesome. So mamela, if you want to make something, again, it's not kedai to do this on a regular basis, obviously, because all sorts of things could happen. Oh, but if you want to do it sometimes, it's very kedai. You cover up the melted, the fly shape, no zayah, no bayah b'chol, and even on the rack, there's no problem, because ain't kli b'lein the kli b'lein roit it. So be'esan, that's the eitza what you should do. If you want to kasha your oven, which again, is not a kulei alma, oh, but kakibelta that you can do it, oh, but not on a regular basis. It's not something you do on every single Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and start kashering your oven. If you do want to kash your oven, you can do so. Very simple, give it a wipe clean. If you want to be machmir, you can use it as a spray, the pogum all the zachen, and then you can put it on for the highest heat of erech 20 minutes, and therefore it's 100% beseder. Whether you wait 24 hours or not, it's a ganzer sugya. Again, this is all the hagolas, kelim sugya, that we're going to vomit some top another that we're not going into right now. A double oven, you have to know this. I spent a long time by the Machon by Rav Halpern, because he gives a hechsher on a lot of different zachen. For example, he gives on the Shabbos earth, he gives on Shabbos lits, and he gives also on ovens. What's the shayla? So I asked him, what exactly do you do? So he showed me a mudig azach. He showed me when a person has a double oven, so often when you're cooking, for example, I'm in the bottom, you're cooking flashing. So what happens is the zeh, can you show me? Unbelievable. The zeh comes outside the oven and goes straight up into the next oven. It's one piece of metal that rests on the outside and it goes connected one to the other. So what they do is, and he showed me, is they make a mechitza there between one oven and the next oven, and it's beseder. So if you go and buy yourself a double oven, make sure that A, if maybe you can get a heksha, it's the best, but if you haven't got a heksha, at least you save yourself, if you can, from figuring out this problem. Now a self-cleaning oven, what they call a pyrolytic oven, it can go better well over 900 degrees. There is no shayla b'chol, this is libun chomo. You can switch it on for milchik or fleishik, even for Pesach, and you can put it on. It's gabbalah gazar, people often buy this pyrolytic oven, that's good for Pesach, so they can have it the whole year. Plus when it comes to Pesach, they just push it, put it on, and it self-cleans. It's gabbalah gazar, it's mamish libun chomo, all the trays in there, you can do libun chomo, and all the zach left for the whole year, it's a murder gazar. Microwaves. Without going too much into the sugar, because your door microwave doesn't work the same thing as an oven. There's no H inside this microwave. It works by moving the molecules inside the food. It agitates them so that they move, and if they move, it heats up the food, which in turn heats up the actual oven itself, which you'll always find interesting that the microwave itself, the walls remain cold, whereas the food can actually become very, very hot very, very quickly. Some of the Baiskim or Machal, they want to tell you a microwave is worse. The Maisa with Paskin is the same thing as an oven. If you want to cook in a milchga oven fleishik, cover it well, make sure that nothing escapes of the Zeh Shaboy, and it's the Seder. And it's the same halacha with lids as well. I can't tell you how many often the shayla comes up. Lids, people by mistake put a milk on a fly sugar pot, a chule, and fakir, whatever it may be. It's partial. The zeh comes up and goes into the lid, brings it back down into the food, and there's a tremendous bayah. Right? Even back in the Bayeva, by the way. Everyone in the Yudea knows famous sheet of the Ramah over there in Simon, Sadigil, that says that if you did the lid, that's in a Ben Yoimai, it's going to be awesome. Like it's a Ben Yoimai. Either Ramah says it's a humble like tam. We don't understand it, but Lava Biki Ramachme. Why? It's very interesting. In a lid, most of the lids that we have are a hand on the top. The underside of that handle has like a screw. Right? Every mahalach is different obviously, but if you have such a metzias, so food often gets stuck within that screw or around it, whatever it may be. The Maisa, that's why the Ramah Taka says that we're machma that an ein of ben yoimi lid has a din of a ben yoimi. So you have to be very, very careful. Again, I'm not going through the sugyas now of how to work it out, the chole, or the machlekes shachan taz, the whole lid, not our sugya. Another thing to realize, when you're cooking on a stove, often you're cooking milchik or parup, or fleishik and parup, or even milchik and fleishik at the same time, so things can splatter one to the other. When they splatter from one to the other, there's tremendous problems. There's a problem number one of tipa shenofel mibachutz. I had a fellow want to call me up, he says to me, listen, I'm cooking milchik and fleishik, mamish. As you put the schnitzel in, the oil, whole thing splits onto the other one. It was cooking mamish a cheese and mushroom soup. He says to me, don't worry, it was on the outside of the pot. I said, let me tell you something, that is the hardest sugya in Yeridea. Anybody that learns study base knows that study base, that's your tibur shenofim with a chutz with the ranav, and then all the shittas that we're showing him. Unbelievable sugya. It's much more chomo when it falls on the outside of the pot than inside the pot. When it falls on the inside of the pot, mabaya, you have shishim, you don't have shishim, bosh it. When it falls on the outside of the pot and it goes higher up than the level of the food, what we call keneged arekon, such a tremendous problem. We don't know what's going on over there. The towels about everybody's busy. Does it go in? Does it spread? How much does it spread? It's a tremendous, tremendous bayah. You have to know such a bayah exists.
And therefore, to be careful for splatterings. Now, mechatchila, you don't have to worry about that, right? Nobody has to worry when you're cooking things on the same stove that there's going to be splatterings. You can be somer, emaskin, nesura, and it's the seder. The last sugya I wanted to get into is the sugya of dishwashing and washing up sinks and all these sorts of shayla. So, the ma'aseh, you have to know, klar, that the taps that we have nowadays that bring us our hot water into our sinks, the firoi poskim has got a din of iru mikli rishon. Iru mikli rishon ki yadua in yeridea and nerechaim is mabashal kidei klipa. That means posher bazaar, and this is so problematic. People that have, for example, a milk spoon in the sink with yogurt on it, and they have a power of a spoon or a power of a knife or a power of a who knows what, and they put it into the sink as well, and it gets yogurt on it. Sometimes, you know, there's milk lying around in the sink over there, there's yogurt left around over there. What do? You switch on the hot water, even the cleavishing goes directly onto that power of a spoon, power of a knife in the sink. Now, mavashal the klipa, that means by power of a fork, knife, spoon, whatever it may be, is now milchit. So that's the first thing you have to be worried about, is the guy with the sink with the hot water is called to be iru mavashav de klipa, and mamela, it's going to be a problem. To have separate sinks, and this is more shkir when people go on holiday and they go to certain places, so they want to have, you know, they only have one sink there, what do you do? Stamil Chatzitzkot has five conditions. How to do it, to use one sink for milk and fleisch. But Moshe is a tshuva, and he writes, Ulu Minchas Yitzchot, he said, women are going to complain, you're making life much too difficult. Mele of Moshe says, claw, you need one thing, a bowl. So, milk and bowl, fleshy bowl, and that's all to worry about. That's something we do about Pesach as well, but that's not our Indian right now. No matter if a person goes away, and he has such a sink, then a brother, that's what he should do. Now, it's always kedai, it's echiv vada nisht, or it's a kedai for a person to have separate sponges, or for example, separate soaps, separate tea towels, all these things are kedai, but they're not a chiyuv bechlal. Just last week, a fellow comes up with a problem with the sponge. By mistake, the cleaner cleaned up the milk with the fleishik sponge. There's mamashas on it, so you have to worry about these problems. A tap. What are the problems with a tap? So there's two problems the person will speak about a tap. Number one, the bayah is that if we're saying, and this obviously depends on the tap, that iru is mavashav de klipa, and the water that comes out of the tap is going to dim bishul. So if I touch my tap, this is very scary, what people have, or a sink, even if they're two sinks, but you have one tap that goes in between, you have to swing it from one to the other, right? Use it for milk and fly chicken and everything. So your hands are all dirty from cleaning off the chicken, you're putting it onto the tap. You put on the hot water now to clean the chicken or whatever you want to clean over there. Now, it obviously depends on the tap. If the tap is made of a poshut tube of metal, which often they are, here in Israel for sure most of them are, so then again, you've got another major problem. It's going to be boiling meat into the actual water. Oh, that's coming out the tap. That means weiter and weiter and weiter for the next 24 hours, you're getting a gewaltig fleischiger flow of water. You're going to be mad. Even when you twist it to the milk side, you're going to have this problem. Right? And number two, a practical thing, when you're cooking fleischiger milk, you have to use one sink to swing it from one to the other. So again, same shayla, you're going to have mamashes there from fleischig, it's going to go on to milk it, it's kedai for a person to be married and to work out over there what he does. Now, when you wash up, and you find by mistake in the middle of washing, a milk of a spoon, in the middle of washing up all the fleshy dishes, right over there, you see it, a milk of a spoon, right? Like the Ocha Shulchan says, the person should be very makpid to make a simon on his milk, on his fleshy, everything klar should be recognized what it is. And he sees a milk of a spoon lying over there, so what do? And this shayla comes up all the time. From chutzlos, normally I get the shayla about dishwashers. Right here, I don't think I ever got the shayla about a dishwasher, but chutzlos comes in all the shayla. We almost, by mistake, found milk and fork in the fleshy dishwasher. Similar shayla, but I'm not going into dishwashers right now. Al-Kopon, when it comes to a sink, we have something called pogum. What's pogum? So, pogum is better than what we call soap. That's what we call soap. The shayla is pogum, is soap pogum the bleas or not? So the shach and the taz are very busy, they take a machme, roiv a poskim or makel, and soap is considered to be pogum. That means, if while you're washing up the dishes with boiling hot water, if you're not using yes and lettuce by water, there's no shayla b'chal. That's the first shayla I'm going to ask. Is when a person washes up by mistake the wrong thing in the wrong sink, did you use yads and lettuce by water? That's pretty hot. If the answer was no, it was warm, no shayla b'chla. Shayla number two, if you did use yads and lettuce by water, what was the matter? Did you use a lot of soap? If you did, then there's no problem. Because the soap goes in together with the bliya and does not allow the bliya to have a geshmak atam. It's called the tam pogum, it's beseder gomor. And by the way, the derech agam, the seichel bitumai, that's how most dishwashers work as well. Most dishwashers have a cold cycle of water that go on, that rinse the dishwasher, all the dishes from their particles of main dirt, and then starts the hot water together with the soap. So most times, again, it's not a clear sack, but most times, a lot of times you can be makel with a dishwasher simply because the soap comes at the same time as the hot water, and the mela, there's no problem. And this is be'etzim, the old shayla with the coffee in the aeroplane. Is a person allowed, when you get your glatt kosher,
Mahadrin mina mahadrin, meal. And it has in it this little cup with a little sachet of coffee with a badatz on it. Everything I've tried is gavaldic until they come around with the hot water. Are you allowed to use that jug of hot water that they're coming around serving you? It's only hot water. What could be wrong with hot water? What could be wrong with hot water? So the Maisa, how I was Mavar the Metzias, it wasn't recently, so maybe we can have to find that the Metzias changed. But how I found the Metzias a long time ago was they used to, everything goes on one big conveyor belt. Everything, from the first class dishes, the first class utensil, everything, all the tray for Zachan, together with these jugs. And they wash it all in one big conveyor belt, big spray over there, there's no soap yet, soap comes later, and it's washable, everything with hot water, and it goes all over the place. And they say you shouldn't use the water unless it was shishim, you don't even know it's in the benyoymoy, it's not clogged, these things go back very quickly into the aeroplanes. I always suggest the posher to eats, I've done it many, many times, is you go to the back, you go to where they have the makor of the hot water, the urn, which is stuck into the actual aeroplane, doesn't come out b'chlal. And you get your hot water from there. You get water from there, the kula alman, there's no shayla b'chlal. That's over there. And the last shayla, amongst many more we can discuss, but we won't, is a very shkeh shayla when you find a milk or spoon in the wrong drawer. What happens if you open up the drawer and you find a milk or spoon amongst all the fly sugar ones? So now there's a shayla on Shabbos, obviously, right? Boira, not boira, minechal, not minechal, lo yodeya. But legabe lo yodeya, the Tal tells us klar, that's a spek sveika, and you give me an eagle, sofeik if it was washed together, and another sofeik if it was bechlal, a ben yoyim, a bishas maizah. Zook the other from, it depends. If you found it there in a chanami, but if you find it in the rack just after you washed up all the dishes, and now you find your milk and spoon over there, so now you have to be more careful, unless you lose a lot of soap, and therefore everything was bogum, and there's no shayla over there. The Eid Hashem next week will go to the Gzeiris Chazal of hard cheese, waiting 6 hours, and waiting after milk. The Eid Hashem next week.